It's On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea in today for Celeste Headlee. 238 years ago, the British Army made its first push into the American South. It happened near the present-day city of Sylvania. That's about halfway between Augusta and Savannah. The battle ended in a British victory, but today in the woods along Briar Creek, another battle is being waged over threats to the preservation of this historic 500-acre site. To discuss the history and what's at stake, Celeste Headlee spoke with Daniel Battle from the Georgia American Revolution Preservation Alliance. His wife, Daphne Owens, also joined the conversation. She's the lead archaeologist on the Briar Creek Project. Here's that conversation.
Well, Daniel, why don't we start with a history lesson on what exactly the Battle of Briar Creek was and why it's important.
Okay. The Battle of Briar Creek was fought on March the 3rd, 1779, along the Savannah River in what is now Screven County. It was one of Georgia's most defining and significant Revolutionary War battles. The story of Georgia's participation.
Why do you say it was one of the most defining and significant?
Because it was really the first real land battle of the Southern campaign that happened when the British changed strategies, invaded the South. And it was the battle that really sort of decided Georgia's capture for the British, the British sovereignty of the British Empire. So when Georgia fell, it was considered, it was declared after this battle.
And it's been called the end of the Georgia Continentals. What does that mean?
The Georgia Continentals were, your first U.S. soldiers. And, they were equipped by the Continental Congress. And then you had the Georgia Militia. But the Georgia Continentals are your first U.S. soldiers. They bear some of the first times that you see U.S. on any of their insignias. So they were supposedly a professional trained group of soldiers that when battle broke, they were not expected to retreat or leave their lines once they were in place.
And Daphne, some digging has already gone on at this site. What has been found and what do you think might still be under the ground?
Well, most of our field work was done with metal detectors, and we limited our search to the top, basically 20 centimeters of the soil, in order to determine where the battlefield was. And the reason we did that was because that area has been plowed in the past. It's formerly agricultural field, and now it's timberland. And the top 20 centimeters has already been disturbed. It's been churned over time. And so that area is already disturbed. So when we go out there and do our field work and do the metal detecting and dig those artifacts up, we are digging artifacts that are relatively close to where they were dropped, but not necessarily exactly where. And so we're not really disturbing the integrity of the battlefield as much. And so primarily we did our metal detector, and we tried to do a reconnaissance over the entire battlefield, which at this point is really, really large, several hundred acres. And then we tried to, once we found areas that looked like they might have been part of the battlefield, we would focus our efforts more in a more detailed manner in smaller areas to try to get a better idea of what activities we were looking at. And we found a tremendous amount of activity areas on the battlefield. We found areas where the battle actually took place, where there was hand-to-hand combat. We found the areas where the American camp was set up, and then it was moved and set up again. We found an area where some of the soldiers were actually manufacturing musket balls, some historic house sites that were used before and during and even after the battle. And the most phenomenal thing that we were able to find were the picket stations where there were soldiers sent out to provide, to kind of look out for the enemy while the rest of the camp was able to go about its regular routine of training and setting up tents and things like that. And so we also had those picket stations which actually lay quite a distance from the camp. So the battlefield's really big, and we have all of the elements of a major battlefield pretty much understood at this point of where they're located.
Why do some think that there might be some grave sites there, that there might be some soldiers,
right?
238-year-old soldiers'
yeah.
bodies buried?
Why
do we think that?
Well, there's two reasons. First of all, we know that there were between 150 and 200 veterans that were killed during the battle. And when, generally speaking, at this period of time, when people were killed in battle, they were generally buried on the battlefield. And we actually have historic documents from the British, and then even the Americans came and found additional dead. And they actually buried those relatively close to where they were fallen because they didn't have, you know, embalming practices and stuff that were commonly used. And so the bodies, of course, would get pretty gross pretty quickly. And so they generally buried those people right on the battlefield. And the second thing is, during our study, we actually worked with a lady named Tracy Sargent, and she brought her cadaver dogs out to the battlefield. And over a very small period of time, we were able to look at a very small piece of the battlefield, and her dogs were able to find five potential burial locations, and it was duplicated by both of the dogs that she was using. So she had replication in her results. So
there's still a scent for dogs to pick up 238 years later.
I was very suspicious of this when it was recommended to us by another Revolutionary War historian, and I was a little dubious about whether or not this would work. But we have proven that it will work, and in fact, since we did this study, we have taken Tracy Sargent to a couple of other American Revolutionary battlefields, and in a couple of instances, we actually knew where a couple of mass graves were, and her dogs indeed were able to alert on those graves. So we have seen her in action several times, and we've been very impressed with her results.
So, Daniel, what is threatened for the battlefield? Why is it in danger of not being preserved?
Well, as Daphne just quoted, you know, the graves that are out there, we believe that there's at least 200 graves out there. We believe that they're not only likely in mass graves, but in small individual graves. And these are U.S. soldiers. These are not just, you know, regular citizens in a graveyard. These are American soldiers. And any time that you go out there and you tree cut or you run bulldozers through these areas, these graves are shown to be shallow resources. Some of these skeletal remains might be in phenomenal condition. We don't know. They may be in really good condition. We've seen some other areas like Briar Creek where they have been found to be in very well intact skeletal remains. We might be able to do facial, reconstruction and even DNA testing. Some of these were citizens of Georgia and families of Georgia. I think it's very important that these types of resources are fully protected especially under the state burial laws.
So, but what is going to threatened against the site? Why is the development occurring? Why might we lose some of these historic places?
Well, it's pretty much this has been an area that's been a tree farming operation for years by various people. You know, and trees are harvested, not very year to year, but usually like every decade or so. And the state, when they purchased this property, it appears that they wanted to continue that operation, to tree farm for profit, and also use the property for hunting management reasons. They've already said that they're not going to stop that operation. And they said they're only going to preserve 5 acres of the site, and that completely endangers all the other resources that we've noted in our research.
Daphne, you, among others, have said that 500 acres need to be preserved to really set this site of the battle aside. Why that large a space?
Well, because this is a really unique opportunity, because the battlefield is completely intact for the most part. All of the elements of the battlefield, like I outlined earlier, are all there. Most of it, the vast majority of it is already owned by the state of Georgia. It's public land. It doesn't have to be bought in little pieces and tried to be put together as a battlefield. The whole battlefield is there, and it is part of a much larger wildlife management area, a very small piece. It sounds like a lot of acres to us, but we're talking about a wildlife management area that is thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. And we're just asking for the area of the battlefield to be preserved, because it is a unique opportunity where the battlefield is relatively intact. The rural setting is intact. There's not a lot of encroachment. You don't have a lot of visual intrusions. And you have all of the elements of the battlefield represented in the battle, on the battlefield. And so it's a complete package. And without that complete package, you just really won't get the feel and the context of what it was like to be on that battlefield on March 3rd, 1779.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with archaeologist Daphne Owens about the Battle of Briar Creek, and also Daniel Battle from the Georgia American Revolution Preservation Alliance. So, Daniel, let me play devil's advocate here for just a moment and say that, look, there's history that's occurred on almost every square inch of the American nation, and we can't preserve all of it.
Right.
So what do you say to someone who might say, look, 500 acres is a massive area?
Well, in Georgia, we have a real preservation crisis and something that's been going on for many years, where there hasn't been literally any Revolutionary War sites in Georgia protected whatsoever. And I mean, we have more battlefields dedicated to the war Jenkins' ear than we have the Revolutionary War. And you know, I don't expect people to know very much what the war Jenkins' ear was, and that's the point. But, you know, the Battle of Briar Creek is listed as the 16th bloodiest battle of the American Revolution. So after this battle, Georgia was declared to be the only state to be officially recognized back into British sovereignty. And we were the only state to have that happen of all the 13 colonies. You know, that's another very significant point. And the battle itself, the entire battle, the whole picture, this was the first American offensive against the British in the entire southern theater of the war. You know, there was no way that you would ignore the first time that the brand new American, army moves against an enemy, that's just of extreme historical importance.
So, Daphne, what do you hope you could learn? Let's say they preserved the battlefield, that you were able to excavate and bring up all of these artifacts and sites that you were describing earlier. What do you think you could learn from it?
Well, we could learn a lot more about the various activities that were done on the battlefield, where events happened, where people were attacked. We could find out which groups were involved, whether or not there were African Americans involved, whether or not there were any Indian groups involved in the fighting. We could find out exactly where the Revolutionary War soldiers, where they fell on the battlefield and where they're buried, so we could actually commemorate them and give them their just rewards for serving our country. And most importantly, I believe we could educate the public, because I don't think many people out there in Georgia even understand that part of the Revolutionary War was fought in the state of Georgia, a very significant part. And, you know, and it's a thing for Georgians to be proud of. And even though we lost that battle, which we believe may be part of the reason it has been lost to history, we lost that battle. But, you know, there was a lot of heroes involved in the battle. General Samuel Elbert almost lost his life there, and a lot of his Continental soldiers that served with him, you know, bravely stood against a British army that completely overran them, you know, and it's just a point of pride, and we need to educate Georgians and even the rest of the country that the South also played a role in the American Revolution, and that, you know, it's not just all about Concord and Lexington and some of those places up north.
Daniel, you have been reaching out to the state and the Department of Natural Resources. What are you asking for? What do you want to see happen with this? You're asking also for 500 acres to be preserved. What do you want it to look like? Do you want it to be the kind of organized, notated park like when you visit Gettysburg?
Well, the one park that really stands out to me is the Monmouth Battlefield in New Jersey. You know, I realize there's budget problems and budget issues all the time, but there's no reason that this site should not have a management plan placed on it, to where it spells out how they're going to be careful with the site and not damage it any further than they already have. That means, like, being careful with the way they use tractors out there. You know, you can use rubber wheel tires instead of big metal linked chain kind of tires.
And Daphne, what kind of process are we talking about? What kind of commitment in terms of time would it take to excavate all those using rigorous standards, make sure that they've discovered any places where a soldier may have fallen and lay?
Yeah, it's a multiple-step process, and the first one is actually the one we started and we're not able to finish, and that's bringing the cadaver dogs in. That would eliminate, for the most part, large areas that there would be most likely no burials, but the dogs would alert on the areas that were most suspect. And then we could actually, take backhoes or something of that sort, and, of course, you know, the state owns a tremendous number of backhoes. You could get a backhoe out there and scrape back the areas until you were able to find the correct staining in the soil that would indicate that the ground has been, you know, removed in an area that would have allowed the burial of cadavers. So the first step would be to take the cadaver dogs back. The second one would be to actually ground truth to identify whether or not those areas that the dogs alerted were actually where there are burials and exactly where they're at, because the dog alerts scent travels, and so the dogs may alert in one area, but the burials may be, you know, 10 feet away or something like that. So we need to do a good job pinpointing exactly where those burials are. And then hopefully at that point, when funds become available, if anyone is interested, maybe we can do some type of study on the cadavers to find out how they were killed, how brutal some of their death blows may have been, how cut up they are, so to speak. And then hopefully at some point we'd actually be able to put some monuments out there on each one of the individual mass and or individual burials that are there. So it is a multi-step process, but certainly the first one is easy enough. Identify the approximate locations and cord them off and make sure they're not disturbed any further. And then as funds become available, you can do some of the other steps.
That's Daphne Owens, an archaeologist, and also historian Daniel Battle. They're working to preserve the Briar Creek Battlefield, the historic site where the Georgian Continental Army lost to the British during the American Revolution. Daphne and Daniel, thank you both so much.
You're very welcome. We're glad to have someone to talk to, and we hope that the state of Georgia will do something with this significant resource.
That was Celeste Headley speaking with historian Daniel Battle and his wife, archaeologist Daphne Owens. They're working to preserve the Briar Creek Battlefield. That's the historic site where the Georgian Continental Army lost to the British during the American Revolution. We also reached out to Brian Tucker from the Georgia Department of Natural Resources. In an email, he said they are working to balance preservation with other interests. He also says they recognize the importance of the role the battle played in our nation's history.